Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Good Faith by Jane Smiley, narrated by Richard Poe. This work is copyrighted 2003 by Jane Smiley. This recording is copyrighted 2003 by Recorded Books. Winning the Pulitzer for 1,000 Acres didn't change Jane Smiley's life. Fame, she says, only exists in other people's minds. Becoming a mother at 43, buying my first horse at 42, that changed my life. It opened me up, changed who I was. In addition to being a successful fiction writer, she also comments on subjects ranging from politics to compulsive shopping for the likes of The New Yorker, Harper's, and The Nation. And now, Good Faith.
Chapter 1. This would be 82. I was out of the Viceroy with Bobby Baldwin. Bobby Baldwin was my one employee, which made us not quite friends, but we went out to the Viceroy almost every night. My marriage was finished, and his hadn't started, so we spent a lot of time together that most everyone else we knew was spending with their families. I didn't mind. My business card had the Viceroy's number in the corner under "May also be reached at." Buyers called me there. It was a good sign if they wanted to see a house again in what you might call the middle of the night. That meant they couldn't wait till morning. And if they wanted to see it again in the middle of the night, well, I did my best to show it to them. That was the difference between Bobby and me. He always said, "Their motivation needs to be tested, that's what I think. Let them wait a little bit." Bobby wasn't my brother, but he might as well have been. Sally, his sister, had been my girlfriend in high school for about 1.5 years. She was the first person I ever knew who had a phone of her own. She used to call me up and tell me what to do. "Now, Joey," she would say, "tomorrow wear those tan pants you've got and the blue socks with the clocks on them and your white shirt and that green sweater I gave you. And I'm going to wear my blue circle skirt with a matching cashmere sweater and I'll meet you on the steps. We'll look great. Have you done your algebra problems? When you get to number 4, the variable is 7, and x equals 1/2 of y. If you remember that, then you won't have a problem with it. Did you wash your face yet? Don't forget to use that stuff I bought you. Rub it in clockwise, just a little tiny dab, about the size of the tip of your pencil eraser. Okay?" I had been short, and now I was tall. I had been skinny and quiet and religious, and now I was good-looking and muscular. It was Sally Baldwin who brought me along, told me what to wear and do and think and say. She was never wrong. She never lost her patience. She created me. And when she was done, we broke up in a formal sense, but she kept calling me. She was smart and went off to Smith College. And I was sure she would get everything organized there, once and for all. I went to Penn State. In April of my freshman year, Sally was killed in a car accident outside of Boston. I had talked to her 2 days before. "Now, Joey," she had said, "it's okay to see a woman who's almost 30, but you don't say that you're dating her, you say that you're seeing her. Seeing is much more sophisticated than dating, and it doesn't lead to marriage." I went home for the funeral. It was as if the Baldwins had been eviscerated. All they had left were Felicity, Norton, Leslie, and Bobby. That didn't seem like much without Sally to move them along. Betty, their mom, couldn't act of her own free will. The funeral director, Pat Mahoney, had to seat her here and stand her there and remove her from this spot and place her in that spot. Gordon seemed better. Almost vigilant in a way, though my mother said he would never recover, and maybe he never did. Bobby was 10 then, 9 years younger than I was. Gordon came up to me afterward and asked me how I was doing. He was concerned, the way you always get at funerals, and I couldn't help telling him that I wasn't doing at all well. I
Sample complete. Ready to continue?